Hi, I'm David Murphy, and I'm talking this afternoon with Henry Lawson, who is the CEO of Autograph, which was previously known as Enfluence. So, Henry, good afternoon to you.
Hi, David. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. So, just give our readers the benefit of a quick introduction to Autograph, what it is and what it does and how it works, if you would, please.
Sure. So, Autograph is a technology that enables very large-scale companies to hand over personalization to their customers, to their consumers. And what we do is we actually enable the consumer to create a profile, it's called an autograph, within about 30 seconds. And from that, be able to expose the autograph to the consumer, and then to even go and then provide them with a customized experience. In media's case, that's, you know, what music you might like to listen to, what TV programs you might like to watch. In shopping with places like Regent Street and Westfield, it's about what stores you might like to go into, what products you might like to find in those shops. And we also work with banks and carriers on fundamentally retail applications.
Okay, so this takes the form of an app, obviously.
It actually can take the form of an app, but we also have the technology fully available in HTML5. So okay. it can be embedded within a website, both a mobile site as well as a full website, an online website.
Okay, well, let's look at Westfield as an example. Let's say that I see a poster within Westfield inviting me to download the app. I do so. How do I then go about creating this sort of profile of myself so that I get the offers and the messages that I want to get?
Right. So it starts very simply with about 40 tiles of brands that you might find inside Westfield. We don't feature every in each application. We don't feature every one of the brands you'll find in Westfield because there's just too many and the consumer would get bored. What we do is we pick sets of 40. And all the consumer does is swote. And that's a trademark that we hold, which is swiping and voting. They just move with their finger the tile up if they like it and down if they don't like it. And just through that process, which takes about 30 seconds with those 40 brands, we end up with a 5,500 dimension profile, which we call an autograph. And the reason we can do that is because the technology in the background is able to make all the cross correlations between one brand and another, a brand and an interest, and with demographics. So we end up with this incredibly granular 5,500 dimension profile because if you shop at Hollister, then it says certain things about you demographically, but it also is very prescriptive of the kinds of restaurants you like to eat in. It's very prescriptive of the kind of cars you're likely to drive. It's very prescriptive of all sorts of other things. And what we've built in the last 3 years is this database, the autograph server base, which allows us to be able to say, as a result of any single interaction, how that affects your autograph. And as I say, we're able to build that over the period of 30 seconds. And then the consumer gets feedback about what they have seen, what's being said about them, what are the highlights of their autograph, and they can edit those, change those, delete those, come out of it, do what they want. And then we actually serve them the core pieces of content at Westfield, which are the things that they will find in Westfield today that are most relevant to them. So that can be guiding them to stores, it can be guiding them to events, it can be guiding them to a discounted parking offer, it can be guiding them to individual items within a store. It's capable of actually recommending any of those. Okay. And the consumer ends up with a very personalized experience. We of all the autographs we've created, we've never had two that are actually the same, believe it or not.
Okay, and as you said, I can go in and edit my profile if I feel that I'm not being accurately profiled. But is there any need for the consumer to enter any demographic information? Do I need to tell you that I'm a 25-year-old guy? I wish I was, but yeah. Okay.
Well, no. It's on the contrary, actually. As we go through the experience at Westfield, for example, we never ask you for your home postcode or your phone number or your email address or your date of birth or your gender. You know, those to us are biological facts. Most of those are biological facts. And what we trade in are very much the behavioral facts, because the reality is, and marketers sort of know this, but it's very hard to actually measure. What we do is we create a behavioral age for that consumer and a behavioral gender. Now, that might sound strange, but it's because, in fact, men don't always behave exactly like, you know, archetypal men, and women don't behave like archetypal women. Similarly, we don't necessarily behave our age. You know, as you say, you know, you might well behave like you're 25 at times, David, and as a result, your autograph captures that, because the things that interest a 25-year-old are the things that would interest you, whatever age you are. So it's the distinction between biological age and behavioral age, and we've drawn out this comparison between the two pretty acutely.
Good. I think the gods are really against us, Henry. I don't know if you can hear the background noise, but I'm just worried that this is going to come through.
Background noise here?
No, it's at my end. I say the reason for selecting 4 o'clock initially is because the builders have gone by then, but bringing it forward, I thought there might be a danger this might happen, and it's.
It sounds like thunder rumbling.
Yeah, no, it's worse than that. This end. I mean, we can. We don't have to do the whole thing again. No, let's
David,
carry
I'm
on. We'll edit.
I'm very happy to reschedule if you like.
Let's keep going now. I can cut this bit out. That's not a problem. You know, the chat that we're having now. Let's keep going. And if when I listen to it back, there's too much background noise, then we'll have to. But let's keep going. So we've just been talking about the fact that, you know, I can behave like a 25-year-old, even though I'm twice that age, because that's what some blokes do, and that's what you take account of. So that's very interesting, and great news for me personally, actually, because I'm often told I don't have my age. But where did the idea come from?
Don't feel badly. My wife says the same thing to me.
That's good to know. So where did the idea come from?
So the idea originated, I spent 14 years running the largest ad tech company in the world, what was known as Donovan Data Systems is now known as MediaOcean. And I watched these digital response rates sort of drop. As the budgets rose, the response rates dropped from 7% to 0.7% to 0.07%, and realized that we were really doing something wrong. And I came out of Donovan with a thesis that we could do a much better job of connecting people if you just got the people involved in what they were interested in to tell you what they were interested in. And I tied up with Brian Rountree, my CTO and co-founder here in Seattle, and realized that Brian had exactly the right combination of technology and a team, technology team, together with user interface that makes it fast and interesting for the consumer, and at the same time is very, very smart and is able to build these profiles incredibly quickly. Okay. He was using that as an app recommendation engine. And we got together and I said, well, hang on a minute. Can't we use it to build a company like what has become Autograph? And that's what we did. And that's why the company is based in Seattle, even though an awful lot of our business is in the UK.
Okay. And you mentioned a few different sort of clients and use cases earlier. The one I'm familiar with is Westfield, and that's the one I find easiest to get my head around, because you've got a lot of retailers and they can all be aggregated in one place on the app. So how would it work with somebody like a carrier, for example?
So with carriers, we end up, what carriers want to do is to be able to present their consumers with a whole series of other opportunities to be able to interact with the carrier. So what we provide inside the app is opportunities for consumers to be able to actually get retail offers, but also to be able to enter competitions, to find out about new calling plans, to find out about new phones they might like to look at, to learn about services. So one of the things that we actually help, we're helping one carrier with, is to be able to help with the onboarding process when somebody gets a new phone, because we can actually provide apps that recommend apps to them that they might like to download for their new phone, services, things that they might like to switch on and off. And so we're able to actually build an experience that ties the consumer more closely to their carrier. And then the carrier is also, with the input and the opt-in of the consumer, is able to actually use the profile that's developed to then be able to drive their push advertising schemes. So we're able to actually help them to make sure that the messages that their subscribers receive are directly relevant to those subscribers. One of the big carriers in the UK is actually using a very, very simple system of checkboxes that are sort of ticked by a handful of the a very small proportion of the initial subscribers and never touched again. So the profile is actually not not dynamic in any way, whereas the client that we have is able to use our technology to make that profile completely dynamic all the time, and to therefore be able to actually do a lot more with it, and the results are pretty spectacular.
And the we'll come on to that in just a second, but the sort of process, the swoting is the same irrespective of the deployment, is it?
Yes, it's pretty much the same. You know, we've got three principles, which is that we have an early stage where you swote a few tiles, which is the sort of cold start, overcoming the cold start problem that most recommendation engines have. Then we actually open up and completely transparently show the consumer what the what their profile says about them, and give them the opportunity to edit it. And then we serve them content. And there's a variety of different ways in which we do that. But fundamentally, all three of those steps are in everything that we do.
Okay, so you said you've seen, I think you used the word spectacular sort of levels of engagement. Could you just tell us a little bit about that? What are the numbers like in terms of, it sounds like if this thing works properly, then consumers, users should be pretty engaged with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, on the initial entry into the opportunity to create an order graph, 94% of consumers choose to do so on average. It varies a little bit by application, but in every case we've had so far, it's been in excess of 90%, and the average is 94%. We get the data that comes back 91% accurate, which we're very comfortable with, because if the data's more accurate than that, then it gets a little bit creepy for the consumer, and they don't believe that something as simple as just swoting a few tiles around can possibly build something that granular. And actually the opportunity to alter it gives real power to the consumer, and they enjoy doing that. And then we serve back the content, and typically the response rates that we see to content are, we've seen as low as 6 times and as high as 52 times higher than the previous methods that market has used. So we're actually improving performance by an average of about 10 times. But we've been as low as 6 and as high as 52, but we're in that. We basically uplift the performance by an order of magnitude. And that's the thing that marketers look at and just go, wow, we're really achieving results here. And then typically we have consumers coming back into our applications. About 25% of all the order graphs that have ever been created come back at least once a month. Okay. So we're seeing very long term, we're actually seeing very, very high levels of continuing engagement.
And given that you're with the shopping centres, with the Westfields of this world, you're picking on 40 of their brands. Obviously, there's a lot of individual retailers, travel companies, airlines who would have that more than that number of SKUs, products to choose from. So, are you working with any individual brands in that respect?
We are, and those applications are actually going to be coming out in the sort of after the summer. What we tend to like to work with are companies that have a pretty heterogeneous set of options for the consumer to choose from, and we can guide them very well with that. Where, you know, it's the difference between a strawberry dessert and a chocolate dessert, we don't do as well. We certainly don't do as well as for example, a supermarket loyalty program, where the supermarket loyalty program knows exactly what you like because they've looked over the last few years as to what you buy in Sainsbury's every Saturday.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, for things like that, the loyalty programs can outperform what we do. But all the other SKUs, particularly the things that people don't buy very often, we work with very closely. So we work with banks on that. We work with, you know, banks on financial products. We work with carriers, we work with retailers, and we also work with media. And then, in fact, actually, it's interesting you highlighted travel, but we actually have, we're working on a travel application right now.
Good stuff. Well, Henry, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks for sharing that with us, and best of luck with it.
Thank you very much. Great talking to you, David.
Goodbye. So, Henry, as I say, I'll have a listen to that. I have my doubts, but I'll drop you a line. I think the key thing is we either find a day when I'm away from the office and or we do it after 4 p.m. UK time one day because that's when the building noise stops. It's been very quiet here all day up until the moment that the shots are off. But I'll let you know
not a
anyway.
problem, David. Don't
Okay.
worry, not a problem either way. If you want to do it again, I'm delighted to do so.
Okay, thanks very
Okay,
much.
great talking
Talk
to
to
you.
you
Bye
later.
bye.
Bye.